Brother Rice doing songs for us. Not just his ability to do the songs, but the spirit by which he does them. And it's a blessing to me. And so I'm thankful for that. Romans this morning, Romans chapter 4. All right. Thank you, Wesley. Wesley running the dials back there today. Back me up just a little. All right. Mr. Dickinson is in North Carolina. Is that correct? Yes. And taking a little vacation down there, but then doing some help, right? The hurricane? Yeah. All right. Good. 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 Great. Nice. Good. I'm glad. Speaking of vacation, Sutliffs are back. Excellent. Primers are back. And praise the Lord. Appreciate seeing them again. Between those families and a couple other families, we are down 11 kids this past week in school all week. And we had one young boy actually sick all week, brought it up to 12. And so I am thankful. We were talking to our bus people today, and a bunch of kids are homesick. And so if you can just pray, pray for one another, and pray for our kids. Romans chapter 4. Real quick, just thought of something. If you have a cell phone, make sure you turn it off. Feel led to say that real quick before we get into any sermon. Sometimes young people have a hard time with parents unable to meet their approval. Parents set a set of expectations on children, and to which the children feel like it is unattainable. And that's frustrating for a young person. Concerning salvation, sometimes there's groups of people that set a standard of what salvation is contrary to the scriptures. I did a little research this past week about what is required for salvation. A Hindu has three ways. The way of works, the way of knowledge, or the way of devotion. The way of works is that you've done enough merit that'll earn salvation. The way of knowledge is that you've been enlightened or smart enough that you will earn your salvation. And then the way of devotion is that you find a God to then sacrifice to, and you give your whole being and life over to, such that it is appeased and therefore you have earned your salvation. Roman Catholicism tells us that that justification is not only through faith, but required through baptism and a series of actions that are required to do. How many of you were saved out of Roman Catholicism? So you understand what that means. You have to keep these things. Muslims, I was looking up the Islam faith, and it is certainly faith plus works that are required. Now, we're not doing a cults class here this morning, but we are looking at these thoughts of, could I ever do enough? And if you do enough, if you've completed the way of works through the Hindu, who gets credit for that? The man does. Well done. You've done enough. You have learned enough. You have sacrificed enough to earn your salvation. Good job. You have gone through all of the rules that we have laid forth. You have been baptized. You have kept the sacraments. You've done these series of things. You've gone to confession. You have met these requirements. Therefore, at the end, your works, your good works, have exceeded your bad works. Therefore, you have earned heaven. You have proclaimed the name of Allah loud enough and strong enough, and you have done enough works that at the end of this, it will be enough. Well done. And the credit goes to the man, to the woman, to the person who has attained and has worked for their eternal salvation. All of these religions proclaim that there is an afterlife, an eternity. But how you get there is significantly different. And then we come to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, I pray that as we look at this message of your promises about faith and you getting glory, God, I pray that those things would happen. That we would trust you, believe you, put our faith totally in you, to in turn glorify you. Lord, I ask you to bless this message here today. Lord, help me to keep my thoughts, and Lord, help everything to go smoothly and in order. Again, that you'd be pleased. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It says this, what shall we say then? Thank you, brother. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified, and that's what we're talking about, if I could somehow become justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. If you could, Christian, earn your way to heaven, you'd have something to talk about. You would have something to boast about. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have become. Look at what I have sacrificed. Look at the degrees by which my devotion is measured. And the scripture says, but not before God. No, the boasting would be in the man. It would be in the person. It would be in the one that has attained this and worked. And the credit would go to the person. The glory would go to the person, to which that person would become almost a god. You've learned enough. You've earned enough. You've sacrificed enough. So the scriptures in Romans chapter 4 brings up Abraham, to which then we go back and look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. What we're going to see this morning, and it's a simple thought, but it's important, that justification is not through you, it is not through works. And we're going to see the connection between the faith and the promises of God, to which then gives us hope, which then all goes all the way around to glorify God. Again, our theme is talking about that God would be glorified, and we have a personal opportunity to do that, and simply being saved. Salvation alone in itself, the justification of a man through Christ, glorifies God. God is glorified. And that's what we're going to look at. So as we, that's the point of our message. That is our conclusion. That is our therefore. That is the end thought. So as we read these things, we're building towards that thought. We are watching for faith, the promises of God, and that He would get glory. Back in verse 4 of chapter 17. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. There we see a promise. A promise, not based on Abraham, but based on God. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. No, he hasn't. Not at this point. But God sees something long down the road. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations come out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee in the land there wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Verse 10, last verse that we'll read here. This is the covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you shall be circumcised. Now we know that that circumcision is a sign of the promise. But the promise was made not based on Abraham. It was based on God. The promise is God's word to Abraham. This morning we were talking about the power of the gospel. And so many times we have times of shame in our own life because we say something and we can't deliver. Our plan this afternoon is after this, we're going to head over to downtown Hilton, and we're going to go and go to the Hilton Apple Fest. Two-day huge festival, right? I mean, big time. Apples, cider, sausage, popcorn. We're excited. We made the decision yesterday about it, and this morning I woke up. It was, I don't know, 6 or 6:30. I'm sitting there. I'm like, you know what? I want to check the weather. Look, I just got that feeling. I look, sure enough, 80% chance of rain at 8 o'clock. And I thought, oh, might have to go back and say, I'm sorry, due to weather restrictions, we are not. I'm not that committed to the Hilton Apple Fest if it rains. One drop, that's it. I'm out. It's done. And I will have to go back to our children and to Sarah and say, I'm sorry, we are not going because I don't want to get muddy and wet. And things like that happen all the time. We make decisions or things happen as sure things can be, and we have to go back and revoke our words because we can only control so much. And God comes to Abraham and he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to establish an everlasting covenant with you. I'm going to give you land that's going to last forever. And you're going to have kings come out of you and generation to generation. And I am going to bless you. And Abraham is 99 years old at this point. He's reaffirming a promise that he had given him to before. Now go back to, kind of, no, you can turn. All right, go back to Romans chapter 4. So again, we're trying to keep track of this thought. God's promises linked to my faith, which produces glory to God. God promises Abraham, I will make of you a generation that is going to exceed all generations, a seed that's going to last from generation to generation. Great things are going to happen with you. He looks back in his tent and says, you must have the wrong house. That's what he said the first time he came. When he comes and reaffirms it, we read in verse 3. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Even Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Do you see that? God makes a promise. Abraham believes it. And it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So God makes a promise to man. Man simply has to believe what God says, and God gets glory from it. And that circuit and that cycle happens over and over again. And he says, here, let me exemplify this. Let me explain to you Abraham. And I made a promise to Abraham. I told him that he was going to have a family that's going to last generation after generation. Now, if he came to my house and said that, I'd look at my boys, my daughters, and go, wow, this is going to go great. But when he came to Abraham's house, Abraham had no children. He had no land. So the question is, do you believe him? When God's promises are read and God's promises are given to man, do we believe them? Because that's all Abraham had to do. Just take God at his word. Faith. Say, there's no way to prove it. How is he going to know? No one's ever done this before. It was simply a covenant between God and man. And based on the character of God, is the strength of the promise. But what was required of Abraham was faith. God's made us some pretty strong promises. And if we take God at his promises, you know what? No one is produced. He gets glory. Because if I were able to work my salvation out, I would steal glory from God. Justification through faith does something that no other religion can do. It says only God can do something like this. Because the religions of this world say man is powerful enough. Understand that. I remember hearing this in Bible Institute. Two religions in the world, God's and the devil's. That's it. And in Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, we're told more about this. The justification through faith. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. What's your inheritance? Everything. That's pretty good. What's the paperwork like for that? Someone should tell Israel. Someone should give Israel a little heads up. Hey, just to let you know, no, this is all yours. Stop fighting over this little sliver. You got it all. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to a seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. How was that righteousness given to Abraham? He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. He simply says, if you try and work it out, you're going to lose it. Because the law worketh wrath. Where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18. 18 through 20, if you can mark that off in your heads, pay attention. Who against hope believed in hope. Let's stop there for a second. Abraham was hopeless. He says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to use your seed, your family, and I'm going to bring kings out of. And he looks back in his tent and he has zero children. He's 90 years of age. He's got nothing. But he had hope. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, estimating there, that's math, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, look at this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't like, whoa, hold on a second. He simply stood up strong and said, I believe. I don't know how you're going to do it. Now, we read the story in Genesis, and certainly we come upon, what are you going to name your son? Isaac. Why Isaac? Because it means laughter. Because when you were informed that you would have a child, you laughed in your heart. Why? Because you looked at your body and your wife's body and said, mm-mm. We are past the childbearing years. And the Lord confirms it. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to what? To God. A promise was given, faith was showed, God gets glory. And that's what happened to us. God made some promises to us. What looked like a hopeless situation. I think of those, some of those circumstances that we were talking about earlier, about the bus ministry. You look at that and go, that's just hopeless. That's not going to, there's nothing good that can come out of this. I'm going to still cling to hope. I'm going to believe God that he could use that and get glory. I'm going to claim his promises. Hopelessness. What happens when you're hopeless? Well, you stop believing. There's no hope. Some football games were played yesterday. Alabama beat some team. Does it even matter? It was like 56-14. At halftime, I think they went in the locker room and said, well, we've lost. There is no hope. Now, Syracuse gave it a run against Clemson, but that's different. But some circumstances in life we look at and go, I'm sorry, that's just hopeless. I'm going to stop waiting. I'm going to stop working. I'm going to stop believing. Because that's just not going to work out. Is that what Abraham did? No, he staggered not at the promise. It says this, not only did he not stagger through unbelief, but was strong in faith. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I am standing and believing what God says. And God says, that gives me glory. When the first generation of Abraham and Jacob, and all of a sudden Jacob has 12 sons, the product of Abraham. You know what that was? That was God being glorified because his promise was kept. We've been given great and precious promises, haven't we? Great and precious promises. Look at Psalm 39. We'll look at some verses. Say, how far are you going to go with this? Just a little bit more, all right? Psalm 39. God makes promises. We believe it. He gets glory. That's the cycle. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. You know what that is? That's the prayer of a hopeless person. God, I've got nothing else but your promise. I've got nothing else. There's nothing else to cling to. But my hope is in you. Hey, if you feel this morning that it is lost cause, toss the chips in, it's over. Please remember to not stagger at the promise, but to stand strong in faith, looking for the opportunity for God to get glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I want you to see it. I still hear pages flipping. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. For what purpose? What is the purpose of God making promises and keeping promises? Unto the glory of God by us. We are living promises. We are proof the gospel works. We are proof in the power of God. Walking around, being justified by faith. The things that God can do in a person's life and how He changes you and how He makes you different, you know what that does? That simply testifies of not your great power, but the glory of God. The power of God. And as we walk around fulfilled promises, God says, I get glory from that. Because only God can do that. Because salvation isn't based on works. It's based on faith and allowing God working from the inside out. And God has made us some great and precious promises. Look at Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. It says this, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Know what that says? It says, hey, if you walk with the Lord and delight yourself greatly in His commandments, that the next generation after you have a lot better chance at doing that. So I don't know how this is going to work. We're taking a stand on the things of God, and we're trying to shun sin and the ways of the world, and we're trying to ascribe to the things of God. I don't know. Hey, I'll tell you, it goes all right. Psalm 112 in verse 1 and 2, for those that walk with the Lord, that feareth the Lord, delighteth thyself in His commandments, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Say, how can you say that? I'm not saying it. God says it. God says it. He promised it. Look at John chapter 10. Actually, go to 2 Corinthians 12 first. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather what? Glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Know what that says? Hey, when I'm the weakest, God gives me strength to get through, and the world sees that, and God gets glory. That's a promise. He promises us that His grace is sufficient. That when all of life falls apart, and it's a complete disaster, and it looks hopeless, that His grace is sufficient. That His grace is sufficient. And He gets glory from that. When we're the weakest, not when we're working it all out, not when we have it all figured out, not when the hand of our the works of our hands make everything better, but when God comes in and steps in and we step aside, He is glorified. Promise, faith, glory. That's the cycle. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. In verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Faith. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Promise. We were talking about this a little bit in young adults this morning. And we live in an age in which nobody believes anything. Nobody's word is any good. No one's. Because we all have been lied to. Time after time. Everything we see on the news, even in the news, we look at and go, I don't believe it. Someone's got an agenda. There's money somewhere in that. Right? Isn't that how we look at it? And God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not only going to save you, but I'm going to keep you. I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in my hand. And I'm going to shelter you from everything. And I'm going to seal you until the day of redemption. That's a promise. Because of that promise, well, certainly does take faith. But now I walk around with a confidence. You know what, Brother Rice? I'm not worried about, do I have salvation today or not? I don't worry about, did I wake up today and is God's faithfulness good enough for today? I don't worry about that. I walk in confidence knowing that I am in the hand of God. And I can walk with confidence. Not because I'm faithful, but because He is. Abraham never had to worry and say, oh, I hope I don't lose the covenant. I hope I don't. Abraham, you didn't do anything to deserve it other than believe. It's not based on your works, Abraham. It's based in God. You understand your salvation is not based in you? For if it was, you would get credit. You would get glory. It's not based on you. You could never do enough to earn it. Never. People spend a lifetime trying to feel the peace of God that they somehow earn salvation. You'll never feel that. It's simply by faith. Believing God, what He said, having faith in it, and then glorifying Him. Back to Romans chapter 4 and we'll finish up. Romans chapter 4. Our thought here this morning is God makes a promise. I believe it. He gets glory. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Now I have confidence. Christianity are back and forth in their faith. Man, the slightest of nudge and they're out. Where's the one that staggered not at the promise but stood strong in faith, being fully persuaded that God's promises are good? Romans chapter 14 talks multiple times about being fully persuaded. I think it's 14:5, 14:4, 14:5, 14:14. Having confidence. And you talk to people and no one has confidence about anything outside of God. I don't know. Is the stock market going to fall apart? Are we going to be at war tomorrow? I don't know. Are the Democrats right? Are the Republicans right? Is anybody right? Are judges right? Are cops clean? I have no confidence in anything. I would not be surprised if I walked into Tops today and nothing was on the shelves. I would not be surprised. Wegmans, maybe a little, but not Tops. Tops? Nothing surprises us anymore. Yeah, I saw that one coming, right? Promises. But I am fully persuaded in God's ability to keep promises. I'm going to take Him at His word, move in faith, and He gets glory from that. And that's how it goes. Chapter 5 and verse 1, and then we're done. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We are justified by faith, not our works. We are justified by our faith. Faith that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. That when he died on the cross and he said that his blood is sufficient to take away my sins and he gave me eternal life, he promised me that, I simply have to believe it. And that changes my life. So much so that I am now fully persuaded in the promises of God, and I can go forth in the name of Christ as a living testimony of his promises. And he gets glory. So if you're here this morning and you don't have, and you're not fully persuaded, allow someone to show you from the scriptures what it means to be saved. It's not you're good enough. You're actually never good enough. You could never do enough. But it's simply believing. Say, that's too easy. It's faith. Because of taking him at his promises, he is glorified through a sinner. A man like Abraham, at 90-some years of age, can bring God glory. Why? Because he was justified by his faith. Allow God to get glory by you taking him at his promises. Let's all stand. Justification is not through you. Faith and a promise bringing glory to God. If you're not here, and is there anybody here today that doesn't know for sure? Hey, I don't know. Say, that's embarrassing. I think what we talked about, the embarrassment is gone. Hey, that we're long past that. This is a serious subject. If you're here this morning and you have any doubts about your salvation, come forward, we'll have someone talk to you, and we will rejoice over the fact that someone trusted Christ. I would rather have you get right with the Lord and figure that all out and realize, hey, I've been trying to earn my way, and you're right, that's what I thought. If my good works outweigh my bad works, then I get in. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. You showed me that it's faith in Jesus Christ that my works can get me there. Yes, I want to be saved the right way. That is significantly, exponentially better than anything you could possibly do. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, just come forward. Well, let's get this thing settled and allow scriptures. Say, how and what authority? By the authority of the Word of God and His promises. Not because I'm witty, not because we have some eloquent speaker. Say, obviously, we saw that. I understand. It's not that. Based on the power and the promises of God. And he wants to get glory out of you. But he can only do that when you put your faith and trust in him. So if you're here this morning and you don't know, say, I've been coming to church for 10 years and I'm not sure. Get it settled. He will be glorified and certainly we will rejoice. Get over yourself. No one is worth going to hell for. Hey, Christian, have you been walking the walk? Are you a living testimony of God's promises, or are you doom and gloom? Are you an example of a life destroyed by the consequences of sin, or a life that glorifies the power of God through his promises? Which life are you living? Christian, which life are you living? Maybe you need to come and get some things right with the Lord. this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for Abraham. Thank you for Romans chapter 4. Thank you for a man that had some hope in a hopeless situation. Lord, I pray that if someone here today is not saved, that they would settle that. Lord, I pray for those Christians this morning that are maybe living a life that you don't get most glory from. God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that as the music plays, I know that those two things would be hard to step out of your seat for. So you're asking me to identify and say, I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing. You understand that the purpose of the altar is a place of sacrifice. And if we keep sitting in our seats and standing by our seats and standing in this room and in our nervousness and in our pride, worried about what anybody else is going to think, caring less about what God thinks, we're doing detriment to Christianity. I understand those two things this morning, the two calls on the altar are hard things to step out on. But if we could be honest, say, I am not standing on your promises. I am most certainly not walking in faith. Well, that's what God wants. He wants us to be honest. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, please come forward. Please come forward. Get that thing settled. Allow someone to show you, me, a lady, somebody. But stop playing the game.